We don't usually have nine yellow chairs up here. Usually we have a time of prayer, and then been preaching a series through the Ten Commandments, which I'll continue next week. But tonight we have the opportunity to hear from our spring break mission trips, one that went out in February from our congregation, and then three that were part of our campus ministry, SCF. Let me just see a show of hands if you went on one of those four trips this year. Okay? Keep those up. Raise your hand if you've ever been on an SCF or URC mission trip. Raise your hand if you've ever been on a short-term mission trip. Okay? Don't feel bad. Everyone else can get their chance sometime. All right, put your hands down. So we're talking about a lot of people that have been impacted and have hopefully impacted others through the years by going out on short-term mission trips. And Christina DeDecker is going to come up in just a moment. She's going to lead some Q&A with some different representatives from each of those four teams. But there may be folks here that went with Campus Crusade or you went with some other campus group. I know there have been, since the first of the year, a number of people from our congregation that went out to do different kinds of medical missions or went to visit orphanages. I don't see those particular people that I'm thinking of, but if you are so bold and would like to share for a minute or two and have us pray for you, we would really like to recognize you, because we realize that even though these are the trips that we sort of officially send out, that the body of Christ is bigger than just what we do here, and lots of people from this church and people who attend here have done different mission trips. So if you've done anything since, say, the first of the year and you want to share, now's the time. Just give a good long pause here to see if anybody's brave and wants to come and talk about something. Okay, you make me feel awkward. Okay, anybody? Anybody I know? Well, Anthony and Audrey and Vasquez, I don't think they could be here tonight. They went to visit Hungary and went to some Romanian orphanages there. Steve Roscos, I know, went to West Africa earlier in the year. John Esch is doing another trip with Lifewater soon. Okay, just giving you time, stalling. Okay, you got about 10 seconds left if anybody wants to come. I knew this might happen. Okay. Well, if you're out there and you're hiding and we didn't do a very good job of finding you, we're glad you went on your trip. We're glad you're here tonight. Christina, where's Christina? Why don't you come up and you can take it away and introduce the teams and people as they come up here.
You guys hear me with this microphone? You guys in the back here? Okay. Well, we just wanted to take the opportunity to thank all of you first, just as a church congregation, for your support, for your prayers, for your financial support, and just for your support as a church body that makes these trips possible every year. This was a really, really exciting year. We had a team for Spartan Christian Fellowship. We've had a team go to Panama City Beach, Louisiana, and we drove across the border to Texas, and we had a team also going to Chicago, and then we have two representatives from the Mississippi URC team that went out earlier in February, too. So this has just been a great year, and I hope that as we share some of the stories tonight, that you're going to hear some of the answers to those prayers. Thank you, first of all, to whoever prayed that we wouldn't get bit by all the poisonous snakes that we were told about down in Louisiana. We're very thankful for that. We had a great time. And so I'm going to ask a set of questions to the teams. We'll probably hear a couple representatives from each of the teams share. And then after that, Rick Pennings will close us in prayer. And just an invitation, so I don't forget at the end. After the service tonight, there will be a Sunday supper that Laura Havinga, and I know some of the Louisiana team, is busy preparing right now in the kitchen. And since there's only two or three representatives from each team, and there are lots of students and adults in the congregation that have gone on these trips, if we could just encourage you, especially tonight, to really mix during the dinner so that it's like families, students, so that you're mixed together really well and have the opportunity to ask questions about the spring break trips and the meal, that would be a great opportunity to even hear more stories tonight. So here's who we have up here tonight. Keith and Mike are representing the University Reformed Church team that went to Mississippi and did hurricane relief in mid-February. I'm especially excited to hear about that team because it's the one that I have heard the least about, and I'm eager to hear what they did and what they learned from this. Andrew and Jessica are in the middle here. Can you guys raise your hand? Andrew and Jessica went with a team with Spartan Christian Fellowship down to Panama City Beach, and their team focused on beach evangelism. So that means that they really had the opportunity to just engage in conversations with other college students on the beach and just talk with them about their relationship with God, about Christianity, Jesus Christ. And then in the evenings, they hosted a barbecue for people. They had Bible studies together as a team. So they were really challenged in that area of sharing about Jesus Christ with others. Who was the SDF students that were on that trip? Can you just stand up so we can see who that is? All right, so if you're eager to hear about, and John Saunders was leading that trip, you were eager to hear about that, that would be great to sit by. Thank you. We had a team that went to Chicago this year with Center for Student Missions, and they did a lot of inner city ministry, including they worked at a local elementary school, elementary to middle school in Chicago. They worked at a soup kitchen there. And I know that they were really challenged, especially in learning about homelessness in the community. And this is Val and Gary here. And who else went to Chicago? Steph, I know you're up here in the front, right? All right, good. Okay. And then we also had a team that went to Louisiana. This was a really unique team this year. Ended up being, last year there was 19, and we prayed that God would at least double it, and we ended up with 72, which was an incredible answer to prayer. So thank you for your prayers in that. And it was exciting, too, because we really had a partnership with the Navigators and with Spartan International Christian Fellowship and even some students from the ESL classes and a lot of friends that were invited on this trip. And we just had an exceptional team. So we have Marcy representing SCF, Donnelly representing the Navigators Ministry, and Jackie representing the International Ministry at our church. And who else here went on the Louisiana trip? All right, well represented. Cool. We also had some adults from the church, the Pennings, Matt Herwalt, Bob Toby that came with us, which was a huge help to all of us on the trip. We did hurricane relief building homes, and we also we worked with United Way. We worked at a camp that we stayed at there, and in the evenings we came back to camp and had some Bible studies and testimonies and team times. It was really a team, just exciting to see the way the team served one another. Who else was on the University Reformed Church adult team that went out? Is there anybody else here? Faye, of course. Oh, good. All right. So please take the opportunity during dinner to talk and get to meet people that went on the trips. All right. It's your guys' turn. We're eager to hear about the trips. When you share again, if you can again introduce yourself and that trip that you went on. But we'd love to hear from some of you guys first. Just, you know, what did you learn from your experience, and how does it impact your life or your ministry back here? And don't be shy, because we're eager to hear from you guys.
On? Okay, I'll go first, I guess. I'm Andrew again. I went on Panama City Beach with the evangelism trip. And I guess I'd say just kind of overall that it was kind of a normal, what you would normally expect from a trip like this, not to talk down about it at all, of course, but I'm a freshman, so this is my first experience with anything like this, especially personal evangelism like that, and needless to say, I was completely nervous and just really terrified about, you know, doing that kind of thing, and just Obviously, like, I just got so much more comfortable with it every single day over the trip. And then as we were, our last couple of days when we were getting ready to come home, we kind of talked and reflected on how to keep that spirit of personal evangelism in our lives back here on campus and in our lives and stuff like that. And we were just challenged to kind of think of two or three, like, specific ways that we would be able to talk to different people, something like that. And for me, one of the things I was thinking a lot and praying a lot about is my parents, because my parents aren't Christians. And so I've just been really kind of convicted for the next time I go home to actually sit down and talk to them about the gospel and just with the ways that God's shown me and the ways that he's worked in me to be able to explain the gospel more clearly. I just feel really convicted to have another conversation with my parents about that. I'll just share a story real quick and I'll keep it brief. But last night, actually, I live in Holmesville and I walked a friend home to Brody, and then one of my friends, I called for a ride because I didn't want to walk back because it was cold. And anyway, as we were getting in the car, a girl was outside and asked us for a ride. And my friend, it was Justin Schreier. He was on the trip with us too. Some of you guys probably know him. And so we got in the car and we were like, we're going to share the gospel with this girl. And it was just really awesome because her apartment complex was pretty far away, so we got a really good chance to, like, actually explain things. And sometimes on the beach we had to just kind of get out what we wanted to say kind of fast because people would walk away and stuff. But we actually got the time to really take the time to explain the gospel, and it was just really, really encouraging. And she had been drinking a little bit, but she was kind of responsive to it. And I don't know, we kind of are excited to follow up with her and maybe try to get her involved in SCF or something. But yeah, obviously I'm not telling that story for any credit to me, but just as a way that God's worked in me since that trip.
Thanks, Andrew. It's exciting to hear not only what happened there, but how that's really impacted you back here. Jackie, what did you learn?
Yep. Hi, my name is Jackie. I'm an exchange student of MSU from Hong Kong. It's really amazing for the trip because I've done a lot of things that I haven't done before in Hong Kong. I have built a house. I have sing a lot of Christian songs and in Louisiana. I have been. This is my first time to come to the United States and the first time to come to go to Louisiana and Texas. I went to Texas on every day to build a house. We work on the roof, we build a window, we do a lot of things which I don't know I can do it before. And also we have pay a lot of things. Besides building a house, we have pay kayaking, frisbee, and it was really happy to meet a lot of my American friends here. And besides that, I really like the Bible study time because it's a good time for me to study the Bible, to learn what God said in the Bible. And actually, as a Christian for more than 4 years in Hong Kong, this is the first time that I joined the missionaries. And it was really amazing that I joined the missionaries for my first time in the United States instead of in China. And I think after this trip, I will be more willing to join a missionary trip because before this Louisiana trip, I was always thinking that I don't have enough time. I don't eagering to spend time to. Although I always said that I loved God, but I didn't really spend the time in doing what God loved me to do. And this, I think I have done this in this trip. And after this trip, I'm more willing to jump this kind of trip. And thank you for this trip. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. You guys can just keep those microphones moving to whoever I'd like to share next.
Never liked the question of how did it change your life, because I'm not sure yet. It was a week. And since I've gotten out of college, I've started work, and you just kind of do that grind for a long time, and this did get you out of the grind, but now I'm right back in it. So not sure yet, but it was an opportunity to go down there to see the disaster of Hurricane Katrina. That's something that I've always been a little callous towards, and it made me realize that it's still part of, it's part of our country, and it's also a part of our responsibility as Christians to help out.
I'm Keith. One of the things that struck me about this trip is that you have something like Katrina, which is an incredibly wide, broad-scale disaster, and literally hundreds of thousands of people found their homes destroyed, not just damaged, lives disrupted, many people lost loved ones, coworkers, and the like, and how quickly it fades from those who aren't involved. And I've been impressed in talking to people about this trip, either even before and after I got back here in East Lansing, and they say, oh, there's still a need? You mean this hasn't all been rebuilt yet? And it's like, wow, no, it hasn't. And I think that this was, for me at least, one of the real blessings is to get just a firsthand view of just this much of this disaster. It's very easy to wind up thinking you know it. We really don't, but we get just this much and an opportunity to do just this much of service to help maybe in the lives of just a handful of people. And so.
The people we talked with in Louisiana said that they expect it to be at least 3 to 5 more years of doing construction, and there's still a lot of people down there in substandard housing, FEMA trailers. It was exciting to be able to build.
Hi, I'm Valerie. I went to the Chicago trip. And a big thing on that trip was just learning about poverty and homelessness in the city. First night we got there, we went on a prayer tour, and we went through different districts that were lower income and learned a lot about what was going on. And I remember one of the statistics was that the average age of a homeless person was 9 years old, and that was really that really struck me. And we learned a lot about that. And something that really affected me was at one of the soup kitchens, St. Thomas, the guy that was heading it up sat down with us beforehand and talked to us for like a half an hour, explained stuff about the city, explained stuff about his soup kitchen, how it evolved over the years. And he said that the reason, one of the main reasons that his group, that church group, chooses to serve at the soup kitchen is to worship God. And that was something that I hadn't ever thought about when serving. I hadn't seen it as a way of worshiping God. I had seen it as a way of maybe being like more like Jesus, or feeling better about what I was doing, or feeling better about myself. But worshiping God is definitely an awesome way of looking at it, and really, really cool.
Hi, I'm Donnelly, and one thing that really stood out to me on the trip was learning how to serve how people need to be served and not how you want to serve them. Kind of a story with that. On the first day, I went to United Way, which was one of the locations, and I was expecting to, I don't know, maybe doing some painting or cleaning up something that really needed fixing up, and we got there and ended up mopping floors and cleaning bathrooms and just kind of basic things that needed to be done every day. And kind of getting back from that trip, I realized, or from that day, I just realized that my heart hadn't been in it. And so just going back Wednesday, the next time I went back, just going back with a heart of serving how they need to be served, because instead of how I wanted to serve. So.
Thanks, Donnelly. Is there a question? This is a question to all of you again. And you got, thanks for introducing yourselves as you share and the trip. And don't be shy. Hold that microphone right up because we're eager to hear. Is there a way that you saw God working in your life within the community or within the team on this trip?
I'm Jessica. I went on PVC. What was really cool is one night we have a room dinner. We had 6 girls in my room. And I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. Like, aren't we supposed to be out, like, talking to people? We spent the night, and we were supposed to just, like, do something to get to know each other. And we started talking about spiritual gifts and things like that. And I was always, kind of always like, oh, well, you know, what's your spiritual gift, whatever. But what was really cool was in learning about people's spiritual gifts and what they really like to do to serve and how they really feel loved and accepted in a community. We were able to work really well together throughout the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. Hearing that someone really liked to serve, and that was how they felt really loved. And just encouraging them every time they took time to serve me, I was like, thank you so much. And it just, like, the morale and the trip went way up, I think, at least for the girls. Encouraging each other and seeing, I think, how it was a great shadow of, I think, URC and, like, what I've seen since I've gotten here in the fall, getting more involved, how this church is just really committed to serving each other with so much love and understanding people. And it was really encouraging to be understood by a group and on more than just a very surfacey level.
I guess one thing that really encouraged me was the last day we went to a site where we painted the inside of a house. And the group that went, we had, like Christine was telling earlier, on the trip overall we had SCFers and ISCFers and navigators and people who didn't know Christ yet, and just a good mix of lots of people. And the last day we had a group that went to paint the house, and a couple of them weren't believers, and so it was just really encouraging to me. One of the guys who was a follower of Christ got to share his testimony just as we were painting the walls, and just the conversations that happened were really encouraging, just how you can take something as simple as painting a wall and still find time to, you know, share the gospel. So that's good.
Again, I'm Keith. We went to on the Gulfport trip. I was struck by how the Lord works in ways that we don't necessarily anticipate. Kevin's been preaching about how it's God working. It's God working. It's not us. And I was really impressed by, in talking to people, the power, and this is the work of the Lord, that we can have on people's lives when you go and give of yourself and, in essence, volunteer help. Many of these people are so accustomed to being ripped off by government officials, contractors, what have you. And when people come to help them, to put new shingles under a roof, to tutor their children, it makes an impression. And the church we attended on Sunday morning, Reverend Zachary Beasley, I think if I remember his name, preached a wonderful sermon on human depravity, original sin. And one of the things he said, and the church was it was a very small congregation, and most of the people in attendance at the early service, which was their traditional service, were relief workers, the CRWRC workers. But he said, we're thankful you're here. It tells us people love us here in Gulfport. And that was said with a lot of meaning. And so it was really neat to see how the Lord works through these kinds of efforts. We were not often aware of it, but He's working, and it's a way of His body, the church, working as a body, helping to meet needs that other people have.
One of the first stories that Ken Infeld, he was the main CRWRC worker that we were working with down there and also goes to this church. One of the first stories he told us when we got there was of a pastor who for a long time had had trouble with a building across the street. And after the hurricane happened, a lot of the drug dealers and whatnot were basically took off because the place was wrecked. And this pastor decided to go over to that church. He grabbed a bag full of dirt and brought it back into his sanctuary and prayed that they were going to take the church back or take that area back. And in the next week, the police department came out and decided to turn that place into I'm not sure what they used it for exactly, but they'd come out there and play baseball in the yard or just, you know, they made their presence known. And there are lots of little things like that throughout this entire neighborhood. And the church in many ways actually was revitalized to go out and take back their neighborhood. And that was amazing to see.
Okay, my name is Gary. I went on a Chicago trip. So one way I seen that God was working through us was like, once we went to the school, they said it was like fights every day, but since we was there, like, it was no fights in the hallway that day. And you can tell, like, when we went to shelters and stuff, people, like, already knew, like, we were part of, like, ministry, coming to do, like, urban ministry work. So they, like, they actually, one person I was talking to, like, was, like, praising God, like, that I was there talking to him. So, yeah.
Thanks, Gary. Is there anybody else who wanted to share? I'm curious to hear what stretched you guys or what challenged you most on your experience. Maybe what you learned from that.
Okay, what challenged me the most was how, like, I had a certain stereotype against, like, not against, but, like, I had a stereotype against some people, like, that I should see in the church and that I shouldn't see in the church. So we went to, like, this church. There's, like, different people in it. And, like, I don't know, it just, like, changed everything. I used to be, like, scared to, like, go up to, like, homeless people and, like, shake their hands and anything like that. But now I can see, like, there are people really no different from me. So it's like I can be like that or I'm here to help them. So I don't know. It was that breaking the stereotype kind of. Yeah.
I had also a breaking the stereotype kind of experience. Mine was kind of for the whole trip itself. Oh, I'm Marcy, and I went to Louisiana, by the way. But going into it, I kind of had the image of the Louisiana trip, the work trip, as, I mean, you know, we go and do construction and manual labor and build houses, and that's good stuff to do. But I was like, well, that's not a trip where you get to, like, share the gospel, like PCB or something like that, where your whole purpose is to go down and tell people about Jesus. Like, you know, we're just doing manual labor. You know, what? How much good can that do for the kingdom? So I learned that that's not true, that's not the right, not true at all. So one way that God kind of changed my thinking in that was just in allowing us to have a lot of opportunities to share the gospel with people. One story in particular is from the United Way site that we went to. And I went there one day, and we had kind of a host for the day who was just showing us around and telling us about the place, and she was kind of our go-to person and telling us what to do and all that. So we were just painting a bathroom for them and just talking to her and getting to know her. And she was just talking to us about her, you know, I don't know, her nightlife and the bars that she likes to go to, and using some colorful language. And then she's like, wait, y'all aren't from a church group or something, are you? We're like, yeah, we are. But I don't know, it was just really neat to see how God allowed us to become friends with her throughout the day. And that little conversation there just kind of made me think, man, like, I need to pray that we can be a light to her and be able to share with her. And so we kind of just became friends with her throughout the day. And then when we were leaving, one of the girls invited her to come back to the camp that we were staying at that night and just hang out with us. And she did. And so she came, and she was there for our worship time and our large group sharing time. And she went to one of the small group Bible studies. And we just got to talk to her about her life and encourage her, hopefully. And just, yeah, we got to share Jesus with her. And so that was a really neat way that God broke that stereotype. And it was even just while we were doing the work, just all we were doing was painting a bathroom, and God presented this opportunity to share with her.
Jessica, Panama City. I went on this trip a little bit prideful about evangelism. I was like, I know how to share the gospel. It's going to be great. I just get to do it a lot. But one morning, we were talking about sharing the gospel in truth and in love, and how you kind of need the combination of both to do it the way that God displays it for us to do it. And I noticed from the night before how I had really struggled with sharing the gospel with a lot of truth and gotten a lot of roundabout conversations where I was just like, I'm going to put as much biblical truth and verses and theology into this talk as I can, and did not realize that I was sharing the gospel and I was sharing the love that I've experienced in my life with Christ. And so I just was challenged coming back to state with a couple of my friends, and I had realized I was not sharing the gospel with love. And so I've been challenged since I got back, whenever I'm talking to them, to include both truth and love in those conversations and be challenged to be in the Word to like realize where both of those come into play. So it's a good learning experience.
Kind of along the same lines of what Jessica was saying. I'm Andrew from PCB, by the way. What was really challenging for me was later in the week when I started kind of almost getting worn out and maybe a little discouraged that we weren't out, you know, having tens and dozens of people come to know the Lord every day. I just kind of got, a little bit discouraged, especially when people were just really intoxicated or were just really didn't want to talk or would just literally laugh at you and walk away. I just, you know, started to get almost complacent towards those kind of people and almost like, well, you're too drunk to listen, so I'm not going to try to talk to you, or you don't want to hear this at all, so I don't have any obligation to share the gospel with you at all. Then I was just really kind of convicted after that and challenged to not look at people just as, not look at people who don't know Jesus as just objects of wrath and people that are going to hell, but to actually love them for people and, just kind of feel for them and, speak the truth in love like Jessica just talked about instead of just trying to tell them they're going to hell.
One more question, and then with our remaining time left, if you have a couple questions as a congregation, that would be great if you could address those questions to either the whole group or a specific team. So just be thinking about that as you hear this next one. This question, I know some of you guys mentioned people that you met on the trip that you really learned something from, and I'm just curious if there's other people that you met within the communities that you served in or within your team that you felt like you really learned something from.
Again, I'm Keith. I went to Gulfport, and my wife Agnes also went on this trip, and I'm not much of a construction person. In fact, you know, chair almost went off here today. So, but anyhow, we had an opportunity to go tutor in one of the neighborhood schools, and Agnes went for 4 days, and I went along for a couple days. And I think we found that what was really interesting about this was to meet some of the children. And these were children who came from, we talked to the teachers of troubled homes, and we were tutoring and reading. And I had one little boy who was in third grade. His reading level was 0.2 to 1.2 grade, and his name was Daryl. And the darling little boy, I asked him, you like to read? Nope. You like to like school? Nope. And yet we had a great time the 2 days that the 2.5 hours I spent with him and with the other children. And Agnes could tell you similar stories. But But it turns out that Daryl's doesn't come from a very good home environment. His father is disabled. I don't know what his problem is, but Daryl hadn't been sent to school on a regular basis, and the school authorities had gotten the truancy people after him to try to get Daryl to come to school. His mother is in the Army, and she'd been in Iraq and had been in an explosion, a bomb explosion, and she survived and had was wounded arm, was home. I don't know how much time she's home, how much time she spent with Daryl. And I'll probably never see Daryl again, but I don't think I'll ever forget him, because, you know, it's people like him, the children, that often we don't see. We're dealing with adults, we're dealing with bricks and mortar and shingles and things. And for me, that was, and I think for Agnes as well, really enriched our trip. There's a chance to get to know a few of the kids just a little bit in our neighborhood.
I'm Valerie again, and I went to Chicago. In the schools, the Sexton Elementary School we went to, I was in a classroom. Stephanie Hayes and Rob were also in that classroom with me. And it was an eighth grade emotional behavioral disorder special needs class. It was only about 10 students, but we worked with a few of them, tutoring like them on math and reading and whatnot. And yeah, they had a lot of stuff going on in their lives that I can't even imagine or fathom experiencing when I was in junior high. Yeah, they struggled a lot with school, but it was really cool because a lot of the teachers at that school, you'd see them and they looked really drained and really worn out, just because it was such a tough place as teaching and all the kids had so many different needs. And the teacher we were with, Miss Beals, was really an inspiration. She told me like a lot about what was going on with the students, what was going on in Chicago. And she also was a Christian, and Steph got to experience this. She prayed with her students before class started, which was really, really cool. And she really loved them and did different stuff. Like she brought in oranges one day when I was there and made them all eat a slice so they could get some vitamin C so they didn't get sick, and different stuff that I was just, wow, I was going way beyond, beyond like what an average teacher would do. And yeah, that was just really, that really moved me. And I'm actually going into teaching, so that was really an awesome example to see.
The guy who was in charge of the camp that we stayed at, his name was Wayne, and I think it was the last night, Thursday night, he made us our gumbo, which is a soup from down south, and we had a crawfish boil, and it was kind of fun. Haven't ever had that before, so it was interesting. But then after dinner, he got to share with us just some things that, some effects of the hurricane and how the community had grown closer together. And it was just encouraging to see, like, what had, like, how the negative effects of the hurricane had turned positive. And it was just cool. And Christina shared with us, too, then that he had called or talked with her and said that the group that went down was one of the best groups he had ever seen, and he wasn't trying to just make us feel good, but that he was honest about it. And I just thought that was a really big testimony to what God has done, like, through us. And that was encouraging to me.
Each evening after we finished eating, I went to the Gulfport trip. We'd have devotions, and they were usually organized by either Keith or Don Hageman, and it gave us an opportunity to get to know each other. And some of the people there, I knew their faces from church, but I didn't know them very well. And so it gave me an opportunity to make some new friends here in the church, and also to learn a lot, particularly from Don Hageman. He shared a lot about his life and some of the current problems he's got, and also some of the joys and stuff from he was in Send Missionaries, and He shared a lot with us and helped the group to knit together.
We have about 7 minutes left. What are you curious to know about from the teams that went, that were sent out from our church body? You have to give me a better response than Kevin got when he was asking. Any questions? Okay, well, hopefully everyone has loads of questions and you're eager to talk about them during the spaghetti dinner that's coming up soon. I have one more question, then we'll close and move ahead with that. Is there any remaining highlight stories, you know, highlights from your experience that you'd like to share with the congregation, answers to prayer, or ways that you saw God working in your own life during the trip?
Son, I'm not quite sure where I am with this or how, if it will ever be resolved, and hopefully maybe never will. But it's sort of, in my mind, a story of two walls. Last year in May, we visited some friends in Missouri, and they took us to Fulton, Missouri, to Westminster College. And many of you may not know, some of you do. Westminster College was where Winston Churchill gave the famous speech, the Iron Curtain speech, after World War II. And there they have at the museum, there's a museum, a Churchill museum, a portion of the Berlin Wall. In Gulfport, Mississippi, there's also a wall. It's a wall that runs on 15th Street, which was a street that we stayed on. It starts there, then goes south towards the Gulf. And that wall is a cement wall, probably 6 feet high. There's some stakes, iron stakes sticking up, and there was at one time a couple of rows of barbed wire. There still are a few remnants of that barbed wire. That wall separated the people of Gulfport for many years. On the east side lived the white people. On the west side lived the black people. And it really torn at me. We saw this last year because Agnes and I went to Hattiesburg on that trip, and Ken took us down, and we saw this. And it's really bothered me a lot, and I hope it does for the rest of my life, because this is the kind of divisions and things that we face out there in the world that we have in our own lives. And yet that wall stands. And one of the people that whose houses we were working on is a man named Sam Davis. And Sam, I don't think at this point is a Christian. Ken and others are making an effort to try to get him involved in the church, and he's been very involved in the construction of his church, of his house. And I had the privilege one day of taking him to the VA hospital in Biloxi, and I asked him about that wall. I said, you know, and he talked about whether or not it should be torn down or not. It's controversial. And he said, well, you know, I have a white grandfather. And Sam, he said, and for me, people is people. And I'm just sort of stuck with that. I say I'm not quite sure how I'm ever going to resolve that or what it means, but I want to share that with you because that's an image that just doesn't go away.
Especially Gary, Jackie, Andrew, some of you guys we haven't heard from as much. If you have a highlight story or a way that you grew in your relationship with God, I'd love to hear.
My highlight story was probably the whole trip, so... let's see. The person I talked to at the homeless shelter, like, yeah, he was like one. He was smart, so I was wondering, like, wow, is he homeless? So he told me, and I was thinking, like, maybe like situations would get you like this, so it could happen to anybody if you're in that situation. And the kids at the school, I don't know, like. It was, I don't know, just to see, like, how crazy the school was, it, like, encouraged me to, like, work with youth and urban ministry. Like, now I want to go into urban ministry. So, yeah.
The highlights of the trip is probably the time that I spent with the Americans. I learn a lot from you guys, from English, from the American culture, how to build a house, And I also learned how to study Bible in English, and this is really amazing. We pray together, we make the dinner. I really hoped that we can keep our friendship and after the trip. Yeah.
Thank you, Jackie.
One of the things on the Panama City Beach trip we talked about a lot was God's sovereignty. It was kind of one of our themes throughout the week. And that was just really helpful for the struggle with, you know, the nervousness of going up to people and sharing the gospel with them. And just one of kind of the highlights for me was, overall, just kind of the great leadership that was on the trip. And just one specific experience, I was out on the beach with one of the guys on the trip, and if you guys know Nick Vandermolen, you can laugh at this. But he was, whenever we would be in a conversation where someone would, we'd start talking about the gospel, and the guy would be like, hey, are you going to this club tonight or something? Or it would just get off track, or a lot of people were just agreeable, but then wouldn't really explain. They kind of just agreed, so they would stop talking. And Nick would sometimes be just like, okay, well, I'm going to tell you the gospel anyway. And I mean, like, yeah, I laughed at it too first. But it was just really cool to see how God was sovereign over our conversations. And, you know, even if we totally butcher the gospel or we feel like we preach a Kevin DeYoung sermon or something to someone, you know, like, our words don't matter. And what matters is how God's going to work in someone's heart. And, yeah, that was just really cool to learn and just really encouraging.
Cool. Thank you, Andrew. Anyone else want to close us? Well, let's just take this time to close in prayer. Rick Pennings, if you could come forward and pray for us. Thank you again to all of you guys. Hopefully you've heard some of these answers to prayers as you were praying for us this last week and month. The team, we just want to close in prayer thinking about, it's often there's a kind of a high that you go on the mission trip, and it can be difficult to really apply all of that when you get back home. And we've also just encountered so many people in our interactions that we'd love to lift up to God in prayer. So if you pray with us.
So before I do that, one of the things I know I was praying for, and I assume many of you were, was for safety on these trips. And just to talk a little bit about that, we often assume take that for granted. In this case, we had a lot of people working with power tools who weren't familiar with that, and we had people using machetes. And in our particular group, there was someone that's hiding in the back. But we had actually a machete backswing hit somebody in the face, and it was just a little minor cut, no big deal, but. You know, people who are using nail guns, who have not used nail guns, can shoot themselves. And when we got to the camp, this director who we were talking about was a great guy, very funny, and he was telling us about all the poisonous snakes that they had there. And we thought, oh, that's interesting. And at the alligator that was swimming in the lake next to us, it was a little one. But and then coming back, particularly I think the Panama City Beach had the same thing. We had an ice storm in Mississippi, which, you know, usually you find those around here, and the bus actually had to get off the road for a couple of hours. So the Lord kept us all safe, and we're very thankful for that. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the trips that we've heard about. We thank you, Lord, because we know this really isn't about the people who went on the trip. It's about you and what you're doing in the lives of the people who participated, in the lives of the people who were touched through service or in interactions on the bus or along the way. We thank you, Lord, that you are working out your good plans in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Experiences like these remind us of your sovereignty. They remind us of your power. We see the devastation that can be wrought by a storm that comes in and just turns upside down people's lives and the whole coast area. Lord, we thank you that you use these things to shape us, to break down the stereotypes that we have, to help us realize how dependent we are on you for the things that we so often take for granted. Thank you, Lord, for the relationships that you started building or strengthened through conversations and interactions on these trips. I pray, Lord, that those will grow. We thank you for opportunities to strengthen our ability to witness, to speak to others about your love, your gospel. Lord, we pray that those lessons, those memories will not fade. We pray for the seeds that were planted on these trips, people who heard the gospel for the first time, people who saw your love in action through the work of others, or that you will leave questions, that you will plant those seeds, grow those seeds, and bring forth people who are your servants and your disciples. Thank you for your protection on these trips. We pray, Lord, that as we move forward, that we will not forget the lessons that were learned, that we will continue to realize that our lives are in your hand, and that, Lord, you are shaping us, and that you are continuing to do your work. Thank you for these opportunities. We give you all the glory. Thank you for your son's great gift. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Salah.